You will turn into Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. You know, as I prepare my lessons at the beginning of the week, oftentimes what happens is spinoffs. It kind of leads to a little bit more. And oftentimes, you can squeeze a little bit more on a Sunday morning in one lesson, and other times, you can't even begin. This morning, we talked a little bit about our lives and what we put most forward in place. Tonight, I'd look at optimism. Because as difficult as this morning was for each of us to work at that end, we have to maintain an optimism that we can do it. And Paul writes, starting in verse 13 of Philippians 3, "Brethren, I count myself, not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or complete, be so minded. And if anything, be you otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind." How would you categorize Paul? An optimist? Or one who was steeped in negativism? You look at everything that Paul had been through in his life. He had every reason in life to be negative. I can just imagine if just a very small portion occurred to me, I would think to myself, why me? But Paul had remembered one thing that I believe with all my heart sustained him through every trial that he went through every up and down in his life. Paul always remembered one significant thing: that he was forgiven. And so, knowing that he was forgiving and feeling it within his heart with all his might, he was able to go about doing what was right and never letting his past interfere with his work. Now, Romans 1 and verse 16 tells us that the gospel is God's power. And God has the power to do His will through His Word. That power works in you and I, if we let it work in us. And if you look in Ephesians chapter 3, in verses 20 and 21, Paul writes here, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." You know, this morning we talked about the past, just a little bit. And we did mention the detrimental effects of focusing and living in the past. The things that we remember that were hardships, the things that we had never been able to put aside, and how it also affects our future. But the one thing about the past, even regardless of what we think and the negativism that we can place on the past, it in one sense, helped us to succeed in the future. Romans 15 and verse 4, Paul writes that what was written aforetime was written for our learning. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, he said, now these things happen unto them by way of example. As Christians, we learn from the past when we study the Old Testament. We look at the successes. We look at the failures. And we learn from those things. We cannot, however, change what is in the past. And so because we can't change it, we should not live in it. You know, I always thought I'd like to own again the first car I ever owned. 1963 four-door Corvair. But see, I know now what made them be banned in the United States. And I would not own one. I've left that past go away. And while it's nice to reminisce, I like my car with the padded dashboard and the airbags, the power brakes and the power steering, and metal between me and the front bumper, other than a trunk and a gas tank. But Joshua gives us an example here in Joshua chapter 1. Now look at verses 1 and 2 and verses 6 and 9. And it says, and after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over the Jordan, you and all the people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. In verse 6, God tells him to be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto the fathers and give them. And then he says in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't even be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever soever you go. God is with each and every one of us. Down this path of life, God is still giving us the same words today. Be of good courage. Be strong. I think Paul was the epitome of those things. You know, when he had the opportunity several times to escape captivity, Paul remained right where he was. And he used those negatives to become positives. In the book of Daniel, we find that Daniel, throughout the book, relied very heavily on God to protect and to watch over him. And he was in a sharp contrast with Jehoiakim, who was the king of Israel at the time of their captivity. And through no fault of Daniel, he was dragged off to Babylon. Jehoiakim was killed. He was executed. For many, they would have thought that that was the end of their future. If we negatively reflect on our past, we can fall into the same trap that that is the end of our future. If you had to define forgiveness, what would you say? I would say that forgiveness is dealing positively with a negative past. This is basically the premise of Jesus' answer to Peter about forgiveness in Matthew 18, in verses 21 through 22. Jesus is basically saying, forgive so you can move on. When we fail to realize our potential, that we can do good, then we'll be of no good at all. We will have a very difficult time functioning on a daily basis. How many times have we dwelt on the past to such a point that it consumes our very day? We cannot accomplish a single thing because we are looking at a negative past. It may have been our own actions that we're reflecting on, and how productive is that? Our brain, sometimes I wonder why God made it the way He made it. Fortunately, I'm glad there's age, because a lot of the things that we would like to forget, eventually we're going to forget. Not always. The time that we need to look for is the time that we have this very moment. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, Paul said, in a time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Every decision that you make happens in the present, not in the past. Our actions occur in the present. We live in the present, not in the past. You know, Paul was, I like to think, an expert in Greek culture, because he wrote an awful lot about athletic competition. And I believe that he wrote those things because the people that he was writing to would have a very close connection with those things. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, Paul uses an analogy of a race. And he said, do you not know that those who run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. Then he says, but I run this way, not with uncertainty. And I fight, not as one that beats the air. I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I should become myself disqualified. We hold Paul to a very high standard. But when you read Paul's letters, you see that he dealt every single day with sin. That's why he wrote these things, to give the others some insight into what he dealt with daily. That while he's writing to them, he's telling them, look, I have to do the same thing. Because if I don't do the same thing, I myself will become disqualified. How many goals as a spectator in a football game did you make? Zero. Why? Because you're not in the game. You're not in the game. Those who get into the game in sports discipline themselves. But what are they attempting to achieve? Is it a state championship? Is it the Super Bowl? Is it? They know what the goal is at the end. But as Christians, and we're in this race, what do we hope to achieve? If we tell ourselves, I'm done, then we have succumbed to the defeatist attitude. You know, so many people stop doing something because they failed. Years and years ago, I've told this before, when I was in the third grade, me and my brother, we wanted to play an instrument. So my parents went and bought a clarinet and a saxophone. My brother had first dibs, so I got the clarinet. And they were used. They didn't buy brand new. They couldn't afford brand new. But they did tell us one thing. You're going to learn to play that thing. And for an hour and a half, every day, with the exception of Sunday, we practiced. And trust me, if you were in that house the first 6 months, I know my mom and dad, if it wouldn't have been for the money they spent, I wish they would decide to quit. Because there were more sour notes, there was more squeaking than a house full of mouses, or mice, mouses. Have you ever seen a runner in the middle of the race stop and declare himself a winner? He's not finished till he crosses the finish line. In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, the Hebrew writer said, therefore also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, before he wrote that verse, he talked in verse chapter 11 about a whole bunch of people. A whole bunch of people who did not give up. Why would we not think that God, even with all of our frailties and imperfections, can still use us today? 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul writes here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then he finishes that with the clause that your labor is not in vain. In Romans chapter 8, in verses 28 through 39, Paul talks about the unfailing purpose of God through the gospel. He tells us that in these verses that all things work together for good. For those who love God and are called to His purpose. He's not talking in your ear. That's why we continually say, study to show thyself approved. We have to know through His Word what His will is. And we need to do it in such a way that His will becomes our desire. I want to issue a challenge. Tonight when we leave, I want everybody to drive forward by looking in your rearview mirror. But what I would like you to do is wait before I get my car on the other end of the property. Would you ever consider doing that? The insurance rate in this state would skyrocket, be a lot higher than what it is right now. So how is it that we try to run the race of this life by looking in the past? we look to the future. Philippians 3, let's look at 13 and 14 again. Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Have you ever considered that from the moment you were born, that your destiny was the grave? Well, we don't think like that, do we? We don't think like that. But it's true. We all know how our life will end. Unfortunately, sometimes the grave comes quicker than for others. And that's why this race is so important, along with that desire to run it. You know, have you ever seen a football team that was lousy and they fired the coach and then they got another coach in and the next year they just blossomed and just started winning game after game? Who do you think did that? All the players are the same except for maybe the seniors. Because they had a coach that was a good coach. We have a coach too. He's the perfect coach. That is God Almighty. In this race of life, we have Him coaching us, if we will let Him. You know, we're going to become tired. We're going to get worn down. Our legs and our feet are going to hurt. Our chests are going to feel like it's going to explode. Like me walking up and down the flight of steps two or three times. But you know what He does for us as Christians in this walk of life? He renews us. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man being renewed day by day. There are some things that we need to resolve ourselves to do in this race. The one thing, the things that can help us to become confident in this race. And we can share in Paul's optimism for the outcome. And the one thing and the main thing is to put our complete trust in God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It is repeated in Revelation 21 and verse 5. You know, we tell ourselves, I can't do this. It's just too much. Let me give you a real quick scenario. Forgive me, Rusty, I'm going to use you. Sunday morning rolls around and every other man in this congregation is sick. Could not make it home and you're the only one that showed your face through the door. What would you do? You'd probably run, wouldn't you? Just a minute, I left something in the car. Friends, it happens. It happens. But you know something. When your back's against the wall, you can do it. Many years ago in North Dakota, I taught the teenage Bible class on Sunday. Another man took them on Wednesday night, and I taught an adult class on Wednesday night. Sunday morning after the Bible class, I came up, and the guy that was supposed to be preaching that day went to one of the members' houses because he had a very debilitating migraine. And I remember at that point, everyone was saying, well, maybe we can just sing a bunch of songs through the service. And we had actually visitors there. And so I said, just start singing and give me a couple of minutes. And I came up with a lesson, at least a short one. It wasn't probably the best that was thought out, but it worked. But what if I said, well, yeah, let's just go ahead and sing. We had folks that weren't even members of the church that visited the church. And they wanted to know more. We can do this, each of us together. You know, I took a sign down when we were doing some painting and stuff that Vicki has by the front door, Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I got to put that back up because I missed that going out the door. Because it's that one little kick in the rear end that gets me back up and thinking a little bit that I can do things. It's a reminder that we are not alone. Jesus in John, verse 15 and verses 4 through 8, he tells his disciples, abide in me and I in you. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. You know, we have a pecan tree in our backyard. It's kind of gives us diseased pecans, but I mean, I don't know what's wrong with them. But squirrels still like them, so I wish they'd pick up their mess. But if I cut a big branch off of that thing and expect to get it to bloom and get buds on it and have leaves and things, if I cut that limb off, what are the chances of that happening? Nothing. When we cut off Christ and God, how can we bear fruit? Because that is, in essence, what Jesus is saying in these verses. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather him and throw him into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words in you, abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. How many times when you had a difficult task to do ahead of you and you prayed to God about it, you found that task to be more likable and easier to do? It's still difficult, but through prayer we realized we weren't alone. All things are possible if we abide in Christ. We have an unshakable kingdom. The Hebrew writer tells us that in Hebrews 12 and verse 28. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, Peter writes, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. You know, if God has done his part, wherein lies the problem? Is the problem with us? Are we willing to be optimistic? Are we willing to have the confidence we need to live the life that we've been called to live? Are we that helping and cooperative person. You know, to a pessimist, doors have locks and latches. But to optimists, they have door handles and hinges. What would we do if after this year, this congregation closes its doors? You know, at the men's fellowship there in Gold Hill the other weekend, they had some very depressing statistics on the Churches of Christ. You realize over 200 churches a year now are closing their doors? Why? Because they gave up. They determined that it was somebody else's responsibility to fill the pews. They determined within themselves and the congregations, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm telling you what I see, what I hear. They're depending on others to do the work. Because they don't have a talent. Nobody's perfect. I've failed too many times. When do we put away our excuses? We need to take a lesson from Moses in Exodus chapter 3. God said, I will be with you. Moses said, what will I tell them? What if they don't listen to me? I'm slow of tongue. I don't speak very well. God said, tell them the great I am sent you. Show them the miracles. Take Aaron with you. You see what God did to Moses? Didn't accept one of his excuses. Because God is no respecter of persons, what makes us think that he will accept ours? Colossians 3 and verses 23 and 24, Paul writes, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You see, we kind of think that we're waiting on one another, and that's not it at all. We're serving God. We're serving God. We need to bury the past. We need to look ahead. But we need to live today. Then we must work as if this is our last year. If there's anyone here this evening who is in need, the prayers of the congregation, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. I pray that you will take a look within yourselves. You know, at a time it seems like everyone is looking for someone else to step up, but we need to look into ourselves to say, I need to step up. If we do that individually within ourselves and ask us and tell ourselves to do that very thing, the workload would be shared so easily. And everyone would benefit. And those things and failures in the past will be forgotten. And we'll see tremendous success. Not only for the church here in Malden, but for ourselves. If there's anyone that has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.